really like this guy.
I didn't know if you were checking my breath to see if I had too many Mai Tais last night or something. Like, brother, let's just... Okay, that's what it was. Well, praise the Lord. You guys are dangerous. I mean, it's... I would come here just for the fellowship. I mean, that says a lot. You guys love the Lord, and no doubt it's the passion that Pastor Ricky and Linda have. We told our assistant, Lindsay, I said, you know, when you meet Pastor Ricky, he's very vivacious. He's like, oh, I love the Lord. God bless you. Oh, God bless you. I said, this dude's so intense for Jesus. And I said, it's real. That's the crazy thing. It's real. And, yeah, no, what an encouragement to be back. We just looked. We were here 6 months ago, which, I mean, the Lord bringing us back again is it's a real blessing for us. We're encouraged when we come here. But I'm excited to share with you a little bit about what the Lord has put on my heart this morning and kind of give you an update. You know, since we were here last, we had started... we call it the Never Give Up Tour. It's my family and I. We got a motor coach bus, which we try to bring here, but the freight line's a little expensive on that one. But we started traveling as a family. My wife, our two younger children, we have two young ones. We have three adult kids, but we got tired of waiting for grandkids, so we had our own. And I ain't kidding. I was like, what? Honey, let's just have our own grandkids. And we travel around with them two young'uns and our black German Shepherd and a hamster. And he's kind of mean. He's like sometimes looking at me, and I'm like, I'm from Louisiana thing, I'll make you dinner. So, but since we were here last, you guys, in 6 months, because we really believe Jesus is coming back soon, we actually believe that as part of our theology and doctrine, and if he's not gonna, if he doesn't come back in our lifetime for all of us corporately, which I believe he will, but if he doesn't, he is coming back for us individually. I mean, we will see him. And I heard that wrinkles are a way of God saying, I'll see you soon. So I, but that's one of the keys for us as a family, even a marriage. I asked my wife, I said, honey, how can you put up with me on all my crazy days and whatnot? And she just goes, because heaven is so real, and I'm going to be there so soon, Victor. And she said, you know, I want to thank you for making me really a very intense prayer warrior. I'm like, you're welcome. That's what she meant by that. So we've seen God do some amazing things even since we saw y'all. We actually got invited to speak to the Arabic world through an Arabic network that reaches 60 million homes in the Arabic community. That's crazy. A Cajun, a Cajun speaking to Arabic people. They have to use a translator. And normally just for when I speak. But, I mean, and I have an earpiece on, and they're talking, and we went into this place, and it's a you know, a little Christian network that reaches so many, but it's very unmarked because of what they're doing. And, you know, this, and we go in there, and I tell my kids, I said, all right, kids, they're in the green room. I go, okay, we don't know what's going to happen today. We just trust the Lord, but, you know, security's pretty tight. They can't open doors. And I said, so see these cabinets? I want y'all to practice getting in there. And they did. They got in the cabin and shut the door. I said, y'all kind of like Spy Kids, okay? So if you hear any screaming, la 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 la, and guns and whatever, just crawl right in there and wait till mom and dad come and get you. I told my daughter, just text us. You'll be good. Just Don't come out. And but it was amazing how God put us in that position to speak, because the Quran doesn't offer forgiveness or hope in the Muslim world. And that's what our Lord is about. Reconciliation, right? Us to the Father. And they wanted me to share my story. And our film, which is now in 15 languages, is actually impacting the Arabic community around the world, which is crazy. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I was on the show and I got so excited. I was like, you know, man, when anger drives you from your past, when injustices happen, it makes you do crazy things, make you violent, it makes you become a terrorist. I want to talk to you terrorists right now. Let me tell you something. And I started speaking with the gal's going, at the break, she goes, oh, maybe not use a terrorist. Maybe just violent people. I think that was an Indian accent right there. I don't know how to talk Arabic. All I know is, la, 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 la. Okay, so we preach Jesus. We don't preach religion. We preach Jesus. And you talk about Nick. Did I tell you anything about Nick last time I was here? That guy's not right in the head. I'm going to tell you right now, he's a good friend of mine. And since I last saw y'all, he called me and he said, Victor, I want us to team up and travel and start speaking together. He said, we'll go into a city. We'll do 20 high schools. He says, I'll do 10. You do 10. He said, when you speak into these high school assemblies of kids, show a video of me. He said, I'll show a video of you. And at the end of the week, we'll go to a stadium and we'll invite everybody out. And you guys, we're starting this month on Oahu. We're doing all these public schools. And you know, it's been real quiet because we're at the HIM, we're speaking at the HIM conference. But what we're supposed to end at the Aloha Stadium on the 30th and do a big outreach. So keep that in prayer, would y'all please? But Brother Nick, no arms and no legs. He's a crazy man, originally from Australia, but man, he loves the Lord. And you know what, for him, he tried to commit suicide at 10, didn't seem the value in his life, and he finally stopped. He finally stopped being angry for what he didn't have and started being grateful for what he did. And he said, Lord, I want to be grateful for what I have. He goes, I have a good mind. He went to university, got 2 degrees. He says, I'm funny. He loves making people laugh and engaging them as a speaker. He became a speaker. Corporately, you can't touch him for less than $50,000. If you have a company, you want to invite him? That's a lot of money. He's really just proven he's not going to be limited by anything. He's not only surfed, he skydived before. I mean, they made a special harness for him, right? The guy who had developed the harness, they were tightening him up right before they were going to go up. And he goes, is this too tight? And he was like, I don't know. And he started pulling tight. And Nick goes, okay, that's too tight. That's too tight. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, I can't feel my hands. And the guy actually looked at him and was like, I think last year Nick was in 27 countries, right? And he gets bored, so he does crazy things. He actually, when he got on the plane first, because, you know, his disabilities, he's all gets on there, and he told his assistant, he said, put me in an overhead bin. His assistant's like, no, Nick. He goes, come on. He's like, ugh. So he takes Nick, opens it up, it like places him in it and shuts it. And then Nick's like, I'll record it with the video. So he backs up, and sure enough, you got your, you know, high class, power first class people grabbing the little thing, and the guy's walking in there. He did like this, and he went to open it. He saw Nick. Nick goes, ah! He goes, ah! Ah! His brother. We were at the house. We were at the house having lunch, and I said, Nick, isn't it crazy that all this is, It's been open to you and how God is using you and how people receive you. It's all because you don't have any arms and legs. He goes, I know. He goes, I know it's good. Well, he didn't do that, but he's like, I know. I know. You guys, Billy Graham actually invited Nick to his house and told him, Nick, you will reach more people for Christ than I did. And he was, I think, in Chile. He was in a South American country. And because of his approach and love for humanity, it gives him the place and the position to share. And he, the president of this country, had him actually address their Senate. And Nick, from the top, up there standing, all the whole political world just said, you know what? You guys, your only hope here is God. And he says, and I think it's important that we kneel down and address God right now and prayerfully. And everybody got out of their chairs, these senators, and kneel down. And Nick led them in a prayer. So let me tell you what, God's hand is on this brother. And you want to invite everybody you know to come out to hear him and keep him in prayer, him and his beautiful wife and their little boy. So it's a great joy. Today we're in Luke chapter 15. We're going to take a minute and look at this, one of my favorite passages. And really, it's a very famous story of the prodigal. It's famous in other cultures and other religions, the prodigal, because it's a story of humanity. It's a story about relationship. And I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to break it down. I read from the Book of Pearl, so it might read a little different. That's a joke. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, okay. Bum rush me. Poof. We're not doing it's a Mormon book. Okay, so that's a joke, you guys. But I love Mormons. I love our neighbors. Our neighbors became our dear friends and longtime genealogy of the Mormon church. And my wife, she invited, you know, our neighbor over to have a Bible study with a few other women. So the gal came, and they started studying the scriptures. And after a number of months, the gal came over one night and goes, dum, dum, dum. She says, I've got to talk to y'all. I'm like, oh, okay. And she goes, I don't know the same Jesus y'all do. What is this about? I was like, you're in a cult. No, I didn't. I'm more gentle. I'm more gentle than that. Just through relationship and loving, it's not our job to convert anybody. But God was drawing her with truth. And you know what? God touched her. She started praying for her husband. And while they were in Salt Lake at the big temple doing the hierarchy stuff, watching a film, he got born again. Right there in the temple, God touched him because at a certain part, Satan, Lucifer, comes on the screen and says, put on aprons or something like that. And he'd heard so much truth. And he just, that's not right. And then, boom, God convicted him of sin and said, I love you. And God touched him. He got born again. Now he comes over to the house. He goes, what do I do now? I'm born again. And he goes, I'm going to stay in the church a little while and try to reach as many people as I can because they're just deceived. But God loves them too. And it's been very beautiful. Would y'all pray for them? Let's pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, God, your hands on that family, the broken, the cycle of just erroneous use of scripture. God, truth has been made known. You've set them free. We pray that you use them in a great way. Lord, we thank you for Nick. Lord, his travel schedule, his family. I pray you'd bless him, keep him in good health, Lord. And I pray you'd bless our time over here in Maui and our time over in Oahu the next couple of weeks. Father, I thank you for this morning that each person's come here. Some, not so much wanted to, but they're here. Lord, some are here full of joy. Some are here full of grief and sadness. Some feel distant from you. God, I pray that you would touch them only by the way you can, Lord. Only the way you can. It is not by the work of man. It is by the power of your Holy Spirit, the truth of your word, and a loving Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're in verse 11, the parable of the lost son. Then he said, this is Jesus speaking, then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that falls to me. So the dad divided them his livelihood, and not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together, and then he journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but yet no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and sandal on his feet. Bring out that fatted calf here and kill it, and let's eat and be merry. For this is my son, and he was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. And they began to be merry. Now when the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what do these things mean? And he said, it's your brother. He's come. And because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore the father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry and with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who's devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed and the fatted calf for him. And you said, and the father replied to him and he said, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. Wow. Powerful story. This is Jesus speaking it. And the truths that I think we ought to draw down from this that would impact our lives is one, there are people, and we can just start with kids, who can be raised in a godly home and then go away. Raise your hand if you believe that's true. Yes, yes. We know it. We know it personally. And man, have we counseled and cried with and prayed with so many families that their parents have broken because of a child saying, I'm going to go do. You know, we live in a culture right now where honor and respect is all but absent, right? The younger generation doesn't get it. And I'm sure during this time, like today, there comes a time when kids start getting more programmed by the thoughts of this world than the values they were raised in, right? And parents, let me just say something to y'all, because one of the biggest problems that will wedge a couple, and I would dare say probably the biggest challenge in our marriage, which we just celebrated 25 years. It was so great. We actually renewed our vows. I tattooed her name on my chest. I did. I was like, I'm midlife crisis. I'm putting you right there, baby. I came home. She was like, wow. Like, is that permanent? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, that's really sweet. So it was just hard me doing it in the mirror. I was like, yeah. you miss a name in your wife, one letter, they get all upset, and it's like, wow. Well, I ween instead of Eileen. So we renewed our vows, right? And here's what's so cool, guys. Look at me. If you were raised in a dysfunctional way, and then you marry, and you don't even know how to have to parent, and God will help you. You don't even have to know how to be a good husband, but God will help you. That's a supernatural thing about following the Lord. He gives you wisdom. You read the scripture, he'll bring other people into your life. You'll go, wow, that's good. And you know, for our vows, I was like, Lord, I want to do something special. What can I do? I just asked him, and he told me. Because God actually will speak to you. Do you know that? It may not be womp, 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 but he'll speak to your heart. You'll hear, and you'll go, really? That sounds good. So this is what I felt like the Lord said. Renew your vows, but only invite your children and let them preside over the event. So we have 5 children, and we went there and we just said, kids, y'all are gonna share with us what vows you want us to say to each other. And then I want you to tell us why it's important that we stayed together. And each one of our children shared why it meant so much to them that we stayed together all these years. And you know what, it was powerful. And I love I think it was my youngest son. He stopped, he said, do you promise every night to kiss mom goodnight? I'll put a movie kiss on her, son, I guarantee you right now. But boy, in marriage, kids, the enemy can use them to put a wedge. And when you start struggling with the child and they start getting rebellious, parents, be careful. Do not let a child get in between y'all. And that's what we've told our kids. Hey, look here. It was mom and dad before y'all. And it'll be mom and dad when y'all gone. We love y'all. We want y'all to put us in a nice retirement home, but it's us here. But the enemy will use them. And you know what? Be careful. Stay together. Even if you disagree on how you're going to discipline or what you're going to do, stay together. Because if you're divided, you will get tore up. And you start blaming each other. Well, if you would have done this, if you would have done that. And some of it is true, some of it's not, but still you've got to stay together. Does that make sense? So kids, they will be rebellious, many of them. Well, let me ask you, how many of you were prodigal when you were younger? Raise your hand. Look at that. How many of you still are? No, okay. The culture pulls us away from what we know is right, our sin nature, the lust of this world, and the bling and all that. And for this kid, that's probably what happened. He probably got tired of the rules. Hey, you need to pick up your stuff. You need to clean. You need to do your chores. And he's just like, I've had it up to here. You ever had kids? Or maybe you were the one that was saying, you wait till I'm 18. Anybody? Anybody? You have a kid say, you wait till I'm 18. I was like, we don't have to wait. I'll masturbate you right now. Honey, call that attorney. I ain't kidding. Make threats to me. One less mouth to feed. See you later. But I love you. So look here. When kids rebel, you got to realize it's a heart issue, and ultimately it's between them and God. And I'm not going to discount, listen to me, if you were here last time, you know I talked about my past, about the craziness of being raised in, you know, tons of homes, 14 schools, my mother would marry 6 times, my father was a drug dealer and a pimp who rejected me, I was left for dead at 5 years old as a kid in a commercial cooler by a child molester. I had to have 123 visits to a trauma specialist to get my noodle working right. I've been on Depakote, Depakine, Prozac, Zoloft, lithium. I mean, I started getting high in the 6th grade. I understand all that. I understand going, I can't wait to leave because it means a hope for sanity for me. I want to get out of this. I'm not discounting that. Do you understand? Because there's a time and a place where a family is so dysfunctional, that kid's only hope is to go. I tell it to kids who are locked up. I answer letters from kids about every week. They write me, mostly from jail. They're locked up. Last week, one that just tanked me. Very simple letter. The kid wrote out and just said, how do I deal with the fact that my dad raped me? I'm locked up now, but I just, how do I forgive? I get so angry. And I started writing her back to say, listen, you are not defined by your past. You're not defined by the abuse of your father. There's a heavenly father that's so much better and loves you, and he's perfect and he cares for you, right? And given hope. And then I realized that it wasn't a girl, it was a guy. So listen, I understand the craziest crazy. And y'all have it here on Maui, don't y'all? I did a post this morning. I said, some of you out there on the mainland thinking, why are you all up in Maui? You should be, you know, somewhere in the inner city. I said, Maui has its share of problems just like every place else. I mean, I just read the newspaper about the young gal that they've declared it's a homicide now. Her vehicle burned out, right? Meth is an issue here on this island, right? Hey, suicides high, and juvenile arrest here on this island are higher than any other island. Why? Because isn't Hawaii supposed to be paradise? But what happens when you live in hell in paradise? You lose hope. Now, you know what? There's pain and hurt everywhere. So with all that said, there's a place for kids to get hope. But I'm talking about young people that have decided to step away from the values that they know are right and wrong and go down that path of the prodigal to say, give me what I got coming to me and I'm gone. And that day, the kid was really saying, give me what I have as though you're dead. Give it to me because I want to go. And the father knew there's no arguing with this one. So he did. He divided his goods, gave it to the younger and the older brother, and then the younger son was gone. Says he went to a faraway land, right? And then he lived it up. Because isn't it great everybody be your friend when you have money? Yes? Yeah, and then you don't even know who your friends are when you got money. And I tell you, you find out who your friends are when you ain't got no more money. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some of you are very guarded because you were successful in business. And all of a sudden, more people want to be friends with you more. And all of a sudden, oh, family comes out. Do you know some of the worst cases of just horrible lifestyle is after people win the lottery? I did a wedding for a couple that won the lottery. Actually, I was speaking at church, and this guy comes up to me, and he was bawling. He goes, man, help me. My life is so messed up. And his fiance was right there. I said, oh, okay, well. He said, man, we just won the lottery. I was like, how big was that pot? I mean, how much praying do we need to do? If it's big, I'm going to become an intercessor for you. I may even share the burden, okay? Just... what I won't do for people in need. No, they started telling me all the crazy things that had started happening. People coming out of the woodwork and family, and they actually, they were getting sued by their own family. I mean, crazy stuff. So we know that money is not the answer, right?
Right.
And having it. But a lot of people think it is. And here's this guy going to country, and he's throwing money around. He's flinging it like Justin Bieber, right? It's raining up in here. And then when there ain't nothing, you find out who your friends are, right? That's how it is in the drug world too, y'all. People will help you out getting started because they want that source of income. But boy, when you ain't got no more money, it gets crazy. Me and my wife spent 5 hours with a gal who's having to sleep with her drug dealer in order just to get her drugs. She's got kids. She's married. Talk about a prodigal. See, prodigals aren't always just the kids. It can be the adults. They've let their heart get cold, and then they start going for something else. You believe the lie, and you think it's going to be better. and greener on the other side. You just don't know what the fertilizer they use for the other green side, okay? That's why it's so good to use the Holy Bible as a standard on how you're supposed to live. This is our plumb line. We live in a culture that says right and wrong, oh, it's relative. You know, what's good for you won't be good for me, and don't judge me. Right? You got to be tolerant to their cause, but boy, they're not going to be tolerant to yours. This is nuts. And if there's one thing I can encourage Christians, now is the time to stand up for what you believe. With all boldness. I mean, if you have the power of God's Holy Spirit, you can at least stand up and go, no, that's wrong. That's weird. No. California, they passed a law that allows a kid to decide what gender they want to be and use the restroom that they want to. Because we don't want to hurt a kid's mind. And I understand if kids have gender issues. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But let me tell you what. That kid needs counseling. That child needs help. Right? You don't change the law for the whole state of all the public schools where now, let me tell you who's going to be traumatized. You have a little sixth grade girl in the girl shower and they're trying to shower and you have some guy walk in. I feel like a girl today. Who's going to be traumatized? Man. We're in crazy times when people say good is evil and evil is good. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of highfalutin, smart people, you know, me with my big IQ of 30. I'm like, hey. But I spoke at a university one time and they said, be careful, they're going to heckle you. I was like, I don't care, I have a sword. It was a big old university, and I pulled out the biggest guy, and it just so happened he played for the football team. And that went over good. But I told him, I said, moral relativism doesn't work. Because what's good for you and not good, I said, that's crazy talk. Because what do you say to a guy or a girl that says, I didn't like that person, so I stabbed him 37 times. Don't judge me. I feel like I had the right to. That's my truth. It gets crazy fast, y'all. It gets very crazy fast. That's why I love the Word of God. You know, Romans 8, or what was it, 12? 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world any longer, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind with the truth. Otherwise, you get programmed by this world. And I tell you, some of you need to check yourself with what you're watching. Some of you are watching stuff on TV that ought not be. Or you see a movie you should not see. And you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm just being relatable with culture. You in there every week watching craziness. They're feeding you stuff. Look at me. I don't want to watch or hear something that justifies a person sleeping with someone else that's not their spouse. Amen. There's plenty of it in this world, but I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to watch it. And I have 3 daughters. What do you think my daughters are going to think if I'm watching a sports program and the commercials come on and they see these scantily dressed girls, you know, looking sexy and I'm just like all into it? What do you think that's going to program their mind? My dad, he thinks that's cool. Maybe that's how I should be. You guys, there's consequences, and there's sowing and reaping. What's wrong with living pure? Our newsletter, which I'm so glad, thank you for so many of you signing up on a newsletter list to pray for us. That's why I said y'all dangerous, because y'all praying for us. So much stuff is happening. But, you know, one of our things is we just go, me and my wife, we've decided to live life wide open for the Lord. Why not? What? Okay, the prodigal. So he's in this land, everything's good, money, 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 and then he runs out. And then what happens? It's not good anymore. His friends disappear. He's hawking his Gucci watch or whatever he's wearing. And then I love how it says, he goes, man, I'd even just like to eat the pods the swine are eating. And then even after that, it says, and still no one gave him anything. Can I give you a hint how so many prodigals will return? It is a circle. It is a circle, parents. It's a circle. And when they go out, they have to make the whole circle before they come home. And oftentimes it's up to you. You're going to try to rescue them when they're on their journey, when they're in another land, because you feel. And then it really gets bad when they ain't got nothing. And they're calling saying, help me. Be sure you hear the Father tell you what to do. Do not act on your own emotions because they will betray you. Moms. Moms will pull out that umbilical cord. Hang on, baby. Come on back to mama. I got you. I got you. I got you. I love you. I love you. I love you. 6'4", 290. Kid. Hey. Hey. Trust God. Listen to the Father. Say, God, do I rescue? Or will this enable? Because a lot of times we're in that circle and they call when they run out. Okay. And then you wire the money. You send something. Guess what it does? It extends the circle out further. The radius becomes larger. Is that right, honey? Radius? That sounds like a college word right there. We homeschool our kids. She homeschools. I don't even know what grade they're in. I promote all my kids in ninth grade. They're like, Dad, I'm in the fourth. Whatever. All right. Don't you want to get out of school fast? I'm the superintendent. Okay, so be careful. Be careful. You know, Dr. Dobson calls it tough love, even with your spouse, where when people choose, you must let them reap what they're sowing, or else they will not come to the end of themselves. And pain is a beautiful corrector. But in today's Christianity, so many people don't want pain. And they don't want to see it on other people that they love. But doesn't the Bible say that if you're his child, he'll discipline those whom he loves? Yeah, it's discipline and love. Trust God. That's what it all boils down to. You have to trust God. I said, we understand the heartache and the pain of a prodigal. You know, our kids raised in a perfect home. And then, you know, they pulled by the world. Big wedge in between my wife and I. I was like, oh my goodness. Of course, I'm a little bit more strict. My wife is the nurturing, life-giving mother. And we had to come to a place to where we said, hey, no. I said, you go out there, I'm going to let you enjoy all the world has to offer. It will chew you up and spit you out. It will not coddle you. I love how me and my wife got together on one of our kids when they walked in and said, I'm going to a party, and you can't stop me. Don't you love it? I understand kids transitioning. They need to break away from their parents. But open defiance and rebellion and telling you what they're going to do under your home? Or these kids today will look at a parent, believe it or not, some of your gray hairs will not believe this. In this generation, kids will look at you and say, F you. In Christian homes, all across the country. And I'll never forget, I love it when my wife had enough of that. She said, you walk out this house, all your stuff will be on the curb. I was like, what she said. Because there was a time in a relationship where we were wedged, and my wife doesn't mind me telling this, when I would set the law down. If you do that, blah, blah. And they'd be like, mm-hmm. Because then you mom would be there to unlock the back door, unhook the window, or slide a little bit of money. Just, you know, be safe. And I love when mom and dad got together. Mom said, you walk out that door, you're making the choice, not us. And that child of ours walked out the door. Like in 30 minutes, my wife had bagged everything up in black garbage bags, all outside. I was like, bravo. Guess what? Short circle. Short circle. That kid went on to go to Bible college, loves the Lord, and her boyfriend just came and asked me permission to date my daughter. Hallelujah. I said, man, she's got a gentle heart. She loves the Lord. If anybody hurts her, I will kill them. And dismembered them. But not in that order. I'm from Louisiana. They do stuff like that. They let the bayou do the justice. Here you go, alligators. Okay, so I love his response. He just tapped me on the shoulder. He said, I understand completely. I said, good. So this guy comes home. And you guys, this story, the reason why he came home is he was homesick. He remembered his father's love. He hurt enough to remember how much the father loved him and cared for him and would be there for him. And it's true repentance. It's true repentance. People can be sorry for what they've done, and they can be hurting for the pain that they're feeling, but until they're genuinely repentant, do not engage them. Let there be fruits worthy of repentance. Not perfection, but just they're genuinely sorry. And you know what? It's the same way for sinners who don't know God. Some people want religion, so they go to church. But they're not genuinely repentant for a life that's been lived contrary to what the Word of God says. You know, I had a guy come into our house to fix our oven. And do any of y'all just get in those moods where you just don't want to visit with anybody? You just kind of burn out, right? I don't want to be a Christian between 2 and 4, so I'm going to just be a carnal slob over here. And anyway, this guy came. My wife had to take our kids somewhere, so it's just me. And here's this guy, repairman. He comes in. I'm like, yeah, it's over there. And all of a sudden, we're talking after he fixes it. And he goes, we start talking. I don't know how. We start talking about my German shepherds and how I travel and, you know, this way. And he just goes, oh. He says, I know this is probably out of line, but he goes, man, I really have a horrible marriage right now. I was like, oh. And he started sharing with me. He used to tell me how bad, and it was messed up. Let me tell you what. It was a royal messed up deal. I was like, dang, I'm depressed listening to you, dude. I mean, it makes me want to drink right now. Let's just. Dude, you. No, I just said, buddy, I'm going to just cut this short. I mean, you're pointing everything, but stop. I'm going to just cut this short. I'm going to just, let me ask you something. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever repented of the sin in your life and turned and given your life to God and said, lead me, teach me, my life is yours? I said, I'm just cutting it short right there. I'm not even trying to lean into this. Just boom. Have you? And he looked at me and goes, no. He goes, I have talked to God, you know, and asked him for help, but I said, man, you've got to be reconciled to the Father, and it's only through Jesus Christ. That's what the cross is about. And nobody had ever explained the simple gospel of the cross. I did it in just a few minutes. And then I just said, man, do you want to give your life to Christ? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to get it? He goes, yes. I said, okay, well, let's pray. And I said, just say this little prayer. And so I started leading him in a little prayer. And he started sobbing when he started talking about his sin. The power of God came and convicted him of his unrighteousness. And he saw how righteous Jesus Christ is. And that's what the cross did for him. And he was, I mean, he's a man. He's like, I don't know why I'm crying, man. I said, because you're a baby. That's why you're crying. No, I didn't say that because it hurts the whole salvation experience. doesn't really set up for the tithing. I pull out an offering plate. Now, first thing as a Christian. So this son comes back. He is absolutely repentive. And I love this. You want to know how God looks at you? You prodigal, you struggling, you who feel so far away from God. He looks for you. It said that he was looking for his son to come home. And then when he saw him, he ran to him. When he ran, he hugged him, and he started kissing him. And the Greek word said he kissed him again and again and again. You know why I understand that to be Greek? Because that's what the commentary said. I don't know Greek, but that's what the guy said, so I'm saying it, so I sound kind of biblish, something. You guys, God loves us. He loves the sinner. And I'll close with this. God, you know, the Bible says, man, the angels rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. They rejoice. I heard the tears of a repentant sinner are the wine of angels. Rejoicing at the goodness of God touching another life. But what about the brother who stayed home? You guys, he's the one a lot of people don't talk about. But in the text, if you read it, he's the one who had a hard heart that did not humble himself. The younger brother went away because of his passions and had sin of passion. The older brother had a sin of attitude. And you have to be careful, you churchgoers, you who know the scriptures, you who are doing everything right, because your heart can be so hard and distant. The Bible says if you have hate and anger against your brother, don't tell me you love me. If you're struggling and you hate your spouse, why are you going to say, oh, I love God, can't stand that sucker? You're in error, not the Bible. You are. And it was him that actually said, what? You're going to do that for him, your son? He didn't even see my brother. So he hated his brother. He hated his dad. He was just full of hate. And he says he was off spending money on prostitutes. He said that. No one else did. The text didn't say that. He said it. What was that about? Did he have some issues that kind of popped out? I remember one time in a church that we used to attend, there was a man that whenever we walked in, it was a Christian, even involved in ministry, really good. And I'd see him look at my wife. And men, we look at women, right? Oh, hi, good, right? But it's just between looking and looking. And to my wife, I said, honey, I'm starting to see a pattern here. This guy is looking at you kind of creepy. And she's like, oh, no, he loves the Lord. He's in ministry. I said, watch him. Watch him next time we go in. And sure enough, we walked in, big church. This guy, he's like, he parted the Red Sea. And he coming. He's coming for my wife. Well, you know. Ah. And I was like, hey, I don't get those hugs, bud. Show me some love. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And my wife's like, man, honey. And sure enough, he did it again. I stopped him, and I finally called him and said, hey, come up to the house. I want to visit with you. I'm sorry. I was a karate instructor before I was a preacher. And I'm a husband, you know. And he came up. I said, hey, man. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, I know men struggle, especially in this day and age, with pornography and all that, and it desensitizes them, and you're so used to seeing stuff on the internet and that you don't even, your eyes aren't even honorable anymore. I said, but I just need to tell you, stop looking at my wife the way you do. He said, what? And he did all the Christian things. Brother, I'm sure. Yeah, do you remember mistaken? I said, no, I don't think I am. I said, I'm pretty slow, but I'm consistently slow. And it took me a while to catch you, but I got you, man. And he goes, no. I said, don't try to make this worse. I'm just telling you, if I see you look at my wife in a degrading, lustful way, again, anywhere. Because I see you do the up and down and the don't you? I said, I'm going to walk up to you. I don't care where we are. I'm going to punch you right in your nose. I'm going to bloody your nose. He goes, well, I said, yeah, I am. I don't care. It can be in church. I'm just, pow, you can press charges. I don't care. It'll be worth it to me. And he said, he got mad and got his car and stormed off. Do you know, just a few months later, that man was out of ministry, moral failure, horrible stuff that went on. Older brother, prodigal, doing all the right things. Make sure your heart is sensitive to God for your own sin. You deceive yourself if you're addicted to porn and coming to church. I just heard Pastor Chuck say that if you regard iniquity in your heart, your prayers are abomination to God. That's scripture. That makes people uncomfortable. But it's the humble brother that has the right relationship with the Father, not the prideful one. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you, God. This story is about your love being lavished on a sinner. But how you love them, boys, just like you love us. Your word, your very word declares that you love this world so much you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him, put their trust in him, repent of their sin, they would have eternal life. And God, I pray if there's anyone here today or watching that would say, Victor, I do not know Jesus Christ in a personal way. I may have a form of religion. I respect God. I respect Jesus. But I've never repented of my real sin, of my heart sin. And I need to repent today. And I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you and God is speaking to you, lift your hand up so I can see who you are and I'm going to pray for you. Anybody here today, lift your hand up real high and I would love to pray for you. God bless you, buddy. Anyone else? Today's your day for salvation. To go from religion to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Victor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you in the back. Lift your hand up and put it down. I want to say, God bless you, buddy. I want to pray for you. This is the most important part of this message. It's time for you to know how much God loves you. Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. Good. Anyone else? Lift your hand up and put it down. I'm going to pray for you. God's drawing you. God bless you in the back. Right on, brother. Right on. Man, welcome. Anyone else? Anyone else? Now, maybe you'd say, Victor, I actually do know the Father, but I've been away, either in my heart or by my actions. And today, I really need to come home. I need the Father to love on me, to let me know I'm valuable and that I am His. Would you pray for me today? If that's you, just lift your hand up and put it down. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. God bless all of you. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Victor, that's me. Pray for me. God bless you, buddy. I need to come home. The Lord is looking for you. He sees you right now. There's no sin that you've committed or involved in that He will not forgive. He's a compassionate, loving God. Where are you? Say, that's me, Victor. Pray for me. Lift your hand up and put it down, and I will pray. God bless you and you. Anyone else? God bless you, Mom. God bless you, young man. Love it when the teenagers respond. God bless you, young lady. It's good. God bless you in the back. The Holy Spirit is searching your heart. You feel that? He's convicting you. It's love. It's love. He's drawing you. Respond. Because if you don't respond, you risk your heart getting harder. If you don't respond, I see you back there. If you don't respond, I see y'all. You risk the depths of your sin growing so grossly out of control, your life will be destroyed beyond what you even think it's capable of. So respond to Christ today. Respond coming back now. Humble yourself just like the younger son did. That's you. Lift your hand up and put it down because I'm going to pray. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good, good. Oh, to be forgiven is to be refreshed. Anyone else right now, before I close in prayer, God bless you. You just barely made it on the bus, sister, right there. Now my hand was on the door. I was about, God bless you in the back. You snuck in the back. You just opened the back door. Praise the Lord. Father, for every hand that has been raised, Lord, and represented, it's their hearts that you're after. God, you want their hearts, because if you get their hearts, you get their mind, their body, their hands, their mouthpieces, Lord, to touch them and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And Father, I pray that you would, in a miraculous way, cleanse them, and they would know it from the inside out. Lord, let the reality of your love be predominant in their life, not the reality of sin that has held them in bondage. I pray freedom over every person, Lord, that has raised their hand. It's freedom that we know we've been touched by you, Jesus. Father, I just pray you touch them. If you raise your hand, say this prayer out loud. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. Cleanse me. I surrender my life to you. Take all of me for all of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You guys, praise the Lord. Hey. Yeah, I'm going long, and I'm sorry, y'all's chicken's probably burning at home. But I want to show you something. There's some prodigals that will not respond because of injustices that have been done to them. People saying, I can't trust God, and I don't want to surrender to him because bad things have happened to me, and I'm going to take care of that before I give my life to God. It's a trap. It's a lie. God will get justice. He has perfect judgment. Do you understand? And I'm going to show you all this. This is rare, but I brought it. I felt like I was supposed to. Last year, I sat with a friend who's he's a high-end operator for military and our government and all that. But God touched him, and he said, Victor, I want you to have this. I said, okay. He said, let me go get it. It's in the basement. That made me nervous. I'm in the basement. He brought this up. And he said, I want you to have this. Tile. Ugly old piece of tile. I said, wow, thank you. It's a tile. And he said, yeah. He said, but this tile's not an ordinary piece of tile. See, justice was served over evil. He said, this tile was taken out of Osama bin Laden's headquarters in Afghanistan. He said, I want you to have this. I told him I was going to put it on eBay if the ministry needed money. He said something about I would never hear the drone hit my car. So I said, I'll keep it. You guys, you can trust God with injustices. He'll take care of stuff. He'll take care of stuff. Look, we love y'all. We thanks for the opportunity to be here. If you have never signed up on our email list, please do to pray for us. Because it's because of y'all's prayers of what God's doing. And we just thank God for y'all. We are doing a second film. Please remember us in prayer for that. It's called Triggered, The Abrasion of Hope. It's for people who suffer with PTSD and how God can heal them all. We've got information at the table. And if you've never seen the book or the film, the way we do in our ministry, we give everything away because God has provided for us. Does that make sense? If you want to make a donation or leave your credit cards with my wife, feel free. Feel free. Love you guys. Thank you for that. Hey, let's stand.